translation with a short purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Prabhupada. O King of the Daityas, from Your Majesty, who came from such a noble family and who are able to give charity magnificently, I ask only three paces of land to the measurement of my steps. Purport. Lord Vamanadeva wanted 3 paces of land according to the measurement of his footsteps. He did not want more than necessary, but although he pretended to be an ordinary human child, he actually wanted the land comprising the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. This was just to show the prowess of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Mulitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam karoti vachalam pangalam gayate girim, yat kripatam aham vande jigaruti natarinam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a lame man can cross mountains. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a blind man can see stars in the sky, and by the mercy of the spiritual master, a dumb man like me can speak eloquently. I therefore today offer my most humble obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Tamala Krishna Goswami Dinamini. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavati Paskata Desatarine Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Ivacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah. We'll read again text 15 and text 16. You also have observed the principles followed by great personalities who are householder Brahmins, by your forefathers and by great heroes who are extremely famous for their exalted activities. Text 16. O King of the Daityas, from Your Majesty, who came from such a noble family and who are able to give charity magnificently, I ask only 3 paces of land to the measurements of my steps. So here we have a scenario. Imagine this little boy, Brahmachari, coming into this sacrificial arena where the head of the demons with all the Brahmins, they're performing this yagya to attain Ashwamedha Yagya. When you do Ashwamedha Yagya, then you become unconquerable. Chakravarti. You conquer in all the 4 directions. But before the Yagya was finished, this little boy, Vamanadeva, Upendra, the younger brother of Indra, born by the womb of Aditi, the mother of the demigods. And he came for a purpose to reestablish order into the universe. Because if demons, they would take over, then there will be a chaos. Already is a bad place, this material world. But then, as the cherry on the cake, if you have very bad chaos, and it will be worse than hell. So, I want to take you back a little bit before this event took place, when there was a discussion between the Lord and Aditi. When Aditi was performing austerity and the Lord became fully satisfied, he appeared to her and he said, unfortunately, I cannot dodge, I cannot defeat the demons. Why? Because they're protected by Brahmins, the Brahmanas, headed by Shukracharya. And therefore, in the meantime, but because you have fully satisfied me, and it is my duty to protect you and to reestablish your children, which are the demigods, on the throne again, then I have to help you somehow or another. She said, in the meantime, you worship your husband, because in the heart of your husband, that is where I reside. And I will, in the meantime, I will think of something to make things right. So, why the Lord was not capable of defeating the demons? It is not that he could not defeat the demons, but Krishna is always afraid of defying or challenging the Brahmins, because they represent his own head. And if the Brahmins, whether they are on the side of the demons or on the side of the demigods, Brahmins are Brahmins. Krishna worships them. I think it's on the one of the verse 17-16 that he mentioned that. Chapter 17-16. Yet because I have been satisfied by the activities of your vow, O Goddess Aditi, I must find some means to favor you, for worship of me never goes in vain, but certainly gives the desired result according to what one deserves. So previously then he says, O mother of the demigods, in my opinion, almost all the chiefs of the demons are now unconquerable, for they are being protected by Brahmins, whom the Supreme Lord always favors. Thus, the use of power against them now will not at all be a source of happiness. So Krishna does not challenge Brahmins. Because you could see on both sides, there were the demons and the demigods. They were advised by Brahmins. You have on the side of the demigods the Brahmins advising Lord Indra, headed by Brihaspati. And on the side of the demons, the Brahmins advising Bali Maharaj, headed by Sukracharya. Now, what is the difference between the demons and demigods? Both of them, they are sense enjoyers. They both engage in also in sinful activities. Most of the time, the demigods, they are in power because they have akama sarva kama uva moksha kama udara. They have material desires, but still they worship the Lord. Whereas the demons, they have material desires, they perform sinful activities, but they do not take shelter of the Lord. That's the only difference. But both, they're engaged in material activities. That's why Krishna says, Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartina arjuna mamupeti tu kaunteya punarjanmana vidyate. Wherever you go, from the lowest planet, Patala Loka, to Brahma Loka, they're all places of enjoyment, places of suffering, where birth and death are reigning. So, it is not that we can actually discriminate. Of course, we always want people in goodness to run the universe, to take charge of us. But as a devotees, we do transcend those two personalities. Krishna, that is why Krishna, Vamanadev, told Aditi to worship your husband. He didn't say, go and worship the Brahmins. Either the Brahmins on the side of the demons or the Brahmins on the side of the demigods. Because ultimately, that worship will lead you to sense gratification. So therefore, he recommend you worship me into the body of your husband, who is a Vaishnava. So a Vaishnava is the, and when you worship a Vaishnava, then you transcend, you know, the two, and you become, you don't become a demon, you don't become a demigod, but you become even higher than that. And that is the position of, that Bali Maharaj will attain shortly. The demigods, they were defeated. Why they were defeated? By the demons. Because you could see that even the demigods, they are harassed occasionally, very heavily, and they are thrown out of their positions. Because, there is described somewhere else in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because of sense gratification. So we are all chased by reaction in this world. No matter how good, how almost God we are. Demigods means you are almost God. But as long as you gratify your senses, there must be reaction, consequences. And the reaction that brings them to lose everything, it's, does anybody know why the demigods, they are harassed by demons? Time to time. Because of what? Curse. That's one of them. But the main one that Srila Prabhupada mentions is because they engage in sex life. You could, like Lord Indra, very often he messed around with the wife of Munis, Brahmins, Gautama Muni. And he had a tendency, time to time, he's the king of the demigods. But, and wherever the leader does, people, you know, then the subject, they will suffer. That is why it's so important for a leader to behave himself properly. Because of few mistakes that Lord Indra performed, then the entire society of the demigods, they had to suffer. And Prabhupada says, the reaction, because they engage in sex life, so therefore the reaction is that they will be harassed by demons and defeated. And that is what happened here. And time to time, and because they are devotees of Krishna, Krishna has to come in the form of different incarnation to help them, because they're always surrendered to Krishna. He came in the form of Mohini Murti, he came in the form of Vamanadev, he came in the form of Lord Nishingadev, Paritranaya Sadunam. So time to time he comes to reestablish order. So in this case here, he was actually perplexed. The Lord, he said, you know, even if I come, I appear as your son, but I cannot fight the demons because they've been blessed by the Brahmins. So therefore I cannot prove the Brahmana words to be false. So what to do? Just like, you know, when he came as Lord Nishingadev, he didn't want to prove the words of Brahma, Lord Brahma, to be false. And he had to come up with something. So intelligent, the Lord, that everything he does, he's always got, he always has an upper hand ahead of us. So he was very clever. He came as this little brahmachari, without fighting the demons, without upsetting the Brahmins, that they were backing up the demons. And he asked for, he first of all, he praised and he flattered and he glorified Bali Maharaj, all his ancestors, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Virochana, Prahlad Maharaj. So he glorifies his ancestors. And then he said, you know, you are known to be very charitable. This is one of the forte in your dynasty, that you are always very charitable. I came here only to ask for, because I'm a Brahmin, brahmachari, I need a place to do my little puja. So I just need 3 steps of land. According to the measurement of my steps, he had very small feet. Usually a dwarf is a very small person. And when they walk, they occupy very small space compared to a normal person. So Bali Maharaj was laughing. He said, you are very beautiful, very attractive boy. He was so effulgent, actually, Vamanadev, being God himself. Little umbrella, kamandalu, lotus with some water in it. And he said, I just need the 3 steps to do my puja. So if you could fulfill my desire, that's all I need. And Bali Maharaj called him, you are so ignorant, you're not very intelligent, being a Brahma, you're just a boy. But of course, I will give you, ask for something substantial. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Kija. What are you going to do with the 3 steps of land? You know, it's like 3 steps for a dwarf is a couple of square meter, isn't it? 1 meter, probably. 1.5 meter square. You can't even turn around. So, Bali Maharaj didn't know what this boy was talking about. And he said, you are so ignorant and you don't know how to protect your interest. You're a Brahmin. Ask for something good, something substantial. Ask for planets. I can give you planets. I can give you anything you want. Sufficient. He said, no. I'm just a brahmachari. Brahmachari are usually very simple. They just need a little place to do their puja. Besides, you know, what a man could do with so much, if he's got unfulfilled desires, uncontrolled senses, then no matter how you try to fulfill the desire of that person, he will never be satisfied. Isn't that Krishna says in the Gita, Dusparena Nalina Cha? For unsatisfied man, putting fuel on the fire will only increase the fire. No matter how much you give it to someone, he will never be satisfied, as long as that person is always in the mood of hungering. That's for a hungering person, he's considered to be a poor man. You have many, many wealthy people in this world, but they're all poor because they're always wanting, hungering. But if a poor person is satisfied, and if he has nothing, he has controlled the senses, and is fully satisfied, fully content with himself, then that person is wealthy. Because why is wealthy? Because he's not hungering for anything. He's got anything, everything that he needs to be happy and content and satisfied. So therefore, a satisfied brahmachari is more wealthy than an unsatisfied demigods or even Indra. Is more wealthy, a brahmachari. Because that's the nature of the soul. The nature of the soul is to give, or is the nature of the mind. Someone who is on the bodily platform is to take. They, people, they're always in the mood of wanting. You see so many, you see, this year is started, 2014. People, they try to increase their goals in life. Companies, expectations, increase in their performance and results, success, in terms of finance, in terms of, everybody wants more, either collectively or individually. The government is trying very hard to try to give more to the society, to achieve more as a state, because that's the nature of the mind and the body. We want more. Even though, if you reflect back a little bit, about 30 years ago when I first came to UK, it was not very modernized like now. There was actually probably more poverty at that time. There was no variety of, even a, you know, great supermarket, there was no much variety of things. People, they were not yet big companies. But there was prosperity, there was satisfaction, and but if you see now, they're all complaining that we are in debt, even though we are much better off, right? There's so much welfare for the people. The roads are much better. The housing system is much, much better than before. It's like there is more wealth, but still everybody thinks that we're going in debt. Just like, you know, 50 years ago, if you see in the movies, black and white movies, people, they, you know, there was, everything was like, in a very, was like almost like the beginning, you know, of a civilization, just 50 years ago. But now there is more prosperity, and people, They think that we're suffering more than before. What it is, the difference? Actually, because before, there was more satisfaction. We didn't have all the things that we have now. There was no computers before. There was no technology to cater for all the needs of everyone. So, Dusparena Nalinacha, you can see, senses, they are never satisfied. And 50 years ahead, you will see things that become like the Star Trek or whatever. You know, things that will become even more modernized. You have more fast food, you have more fast technology, fancy clothes, but still the hungering mood will increase. Still people, they think, oh, we're not doing very well. There will still be war because countries, they're trying to fight, you know, for their own reserves. And everybody will carry on complaining until we cannot say the end of this material world, because it goes on and on and on. The insatisfaction will always increase, either individually or collectively. Therefore, Vamana Devi said, you know, I'm satisfied. I only need 3 steps of land. And then Bali Maharaj said, okay, I will give it to you, even though it's a very silly request. You're not very intelligent, but, you know, just like a child, a father wants to give something substantial to the child, but the child says, no, I want this plastic toy. And the father says, okay, you want that, you know, I'll give it to you. But the little that he knew, that this boy, with the first step, he covered up the entire Chatusloka, the 3 planetary systems, the lower, the medium, and the upper planetary systems. From Patala Loka, who is the lowest, Bhuvar Loka, which is the middle, the planet where we are living, and the highest one, Brahma Loka or Satya Loka. With one step, he became like enormous giant. That is God. Of course, when we hear or we read, we think it's a mythology. It's just, how can he do that? How can he expand himself? But the Lord is Adokshaja. He's beyond our concept of thinking. We cannot imagine how he does things. So a little dwarf, not even a man, with one step covered up the entire material universe, the 14 planetary systems. And then the second step, it went up to the atmosphere of the Brahma Jyoti, and it pierced the beginning of the spiritual world. That's where the Ganga, the casual ocean where Lord Vishnu is laying down, it was the toe of this little boy that pierced that universe, and the Ganga was flowing down. That's how we have Mother Ganga. That's why it's considered to be pure, because it's been touched by the lotus feet of Vamana Deva. And also because the Lord Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, Karanadakshaya Vishnu, he lies down eternally on this water. So, and the third step, the Lord, he looked down and he saw Bali Maharaj baffled, defeated. And he said, now, You told me that I'm not very intelligent. I don't know what I'm asking for. Where am I going to put my third step? You are the one not very intelligent. You give a promise, but then you can't fulfill them. Where is my third step of land? What else can you give me? Where am I going to put my third step? And Bali Maharaj, he said, recognized him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he said, you can put the third step on my head. And that is the process of Atmanivedanam, that I'll give you my life, my own self, I give it to you. You can put your foot on my head. And that was the most intelligent thing he did. But sometimes, very often, we have to go through so much tribulations to reach to that. But it's very easy. Come in front of the deities and say, my Lord, I would like to surrender myself to you. Without fighting with the material energy, without fighting all the elements, the mind, Adibodhik, Adidevik, Adiatmika, because very often we think that we are the doer of our success. That is why we are always in trouble. We think that from our own endeavor, I can get out of trouble. Just like Aditi. Kashyapa Muni said, by lamenting, by being a good lady, by being virtuous, you know, you will never achieve what you want, victory for your children. You have to worship the Lord. You have to surrender to Him. So, similar message is for us. If we want the success from struggle, then we cannot do it from our own endeavor. We don't even have the strength to control our senses, the mind. But we have to understand one small thing, make one small adjustment to be successful. That Krishna is actually the one, Rishikesha Rishikenam Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. He's the master of the senses, and he's the one controlling our senses. Very often we have a problem, we can't control our mind, we fall down, then afterwards we feel bad, we regret, and then you think in retrospect, you know, but I had a good sadhana, I did this, I chanted good rounds, but why, you know, my mind takes me? It's because we are not in charge of controlling our mind. Actually, it is Krishna. If we allow Krishna to be the charioteer, driver of our senses and the mind, then our life will be saved and successful. We have to always understand that Krishna is the one who has the power of controlling our senses. It's not us. And so in this way, When we surrender our life to Krishna, then we don't miss out anything. Then you'll gain everything. You will gain the spiritual world, and you will gain also the control of God. Actually, you become God to God. Because God, He doesn't like to be God. That is why every time He comes, He's always in the mood of serving His devotees. He came as a tortoise. You could see the demons and the demigods. They were fighting for the nectar, immortality, for all the goods coming out of the ocean. But God, He came as the kurma, the tortoise. He very mercifully He served them. He put the mountain Meru on His shoulder. He took the lowest position to serve both the demons and the demigods. When Krishna came, He also was moved by the surrendering soul of His Brahman, Brahmana Sudama. What did Krishna do? He washed His feet. Krishna became the servant of the Brahman, of His friend. And when He came here, I was Vamanadeva, and Bali Maharaja surrendered to Him. Bali achieved the position even more exalted of all the demigods put together, even more than Indra. He achieved a beautiful planet, which is situated in the lower planetary system, but is actually higher than the planet of Lord Brahma, believe it or not, full of opulences. What is the name of the planet? Rasata. Sutala. It's a Sutala. Thanks. And not only that, Vamanadeva became the servant of Bali Maharaj. He became his gatekeeper. Just like here you have Kuveri. You can see, very, very nice devotee. He has no position, nothing. Even never sits down, and I'm sure he could give a good advice to the devotee. He's been around for many years, and very good heart, but he's always there, you know, as a gatekeeper for the manor, serving the community, the society. Gatekeeper, you know, there is a symbol of servant. They stop the people from coming in who are disturbance. People who who disrupt the peace of the temple. So it's a very menial service that Kuveri is doing. So that's the service of Vamanadeva, and he didn't do it, you know, just for a few days or 1 month or 1 year. And then he said, no, now I have to go because I have to go back to become God again and enjoy myself. No, Krishna, he enjoys very much serving his devotees. He stays there for thousands of years. Not just years, but kalpa. In fact, he's still there serving Bali Maharaj. And the next Manvantara, Bali Maharaj becomes Indra Savarni, which means the next Manu. So he could see the Lord Vamanadeva, because Bali Maharaj surrendered to him, and here we are talking about a demon, not even a, you know, someone who was a demigod or from a... But he gave him the planet, he served him, and in the next life he makes him a Manu. He becomes a Manu, the father of the society, the father of humankind. And not only that, after the life of Manu, then he'll go back home, back to Godhead. So victory after victory, you know. Surrendering to Krishna, it's actually the most wonderful thing that we could do. And the degree we surrender to him, that degree he will become controlled by us. And it's not just that he becomes, as I said, your servant, but he will give you so much that you cannot. Then you will acquire the same mood like Krishna. What am I going to do with all these material things? I won't enjoy the rasa. Then you enter in competition with Krishna. No, I want to serve you. Bali Maharaj is in competition with Krishna. He wants to serve him. But who can defeat Krishna in service? He's the best servant. He's serving us, each one of us, materially and spiritually, birth after birth. It is actually Krishna in our heart, the Paramatma, that is maintaining us. That is where the breath, and every breath that we inhale, it's because Krishna is supporting us. The heart that carries on beating because he's maintaining it. Your enjoyment is because he inspires you to enjoy, sanctions, and he provides. He's the supreme sanctioner, and the supreme, he will also provide anything you need. So, how important is this understanding that we are at every second, either we are conscious or not, at every second we are maintained by Krishna, by God. It is a very little thing to think about, but very simple thing to think about, that everybody is actually maintained by God. But even the greatest kings, politicians, they don't think of it. They think they've achieved their positions from their own efforts. And that's why Punya Musika Bhav, you know, you go up, 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 but then we become proud. By thinking that we are the doer of our success, we become proud, and then pride brings us down again. One life we are kings, the next life we are sweepers in the street. One life we could be demigods, then we can become demons. Very tricky to live in this world unless we snap out and face the reality that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and everything should be used for his service. That's why Bali Maharaj, he surrendered everything to him. And that is the way. More we give it to Krishna, and more we are satisfied. It is something that you have to do it in order to experience it. Because if you calculate, if you think of this thing in a material way, more money I give it to you, then less I've got in my bank account. That's a material calculation. But a spiritual gift, when you give something to someone, because the soul is rich by nature, is very wealthy, and there is no end how much you can give to the society, to your family, to your friends, to an institution, to God. If you are always in the mood of giving, then you will win. You are always rich. So we'll stop here. I think we went 6-7 minutes over, and we will hope that this year will bring you grace of God, more surrender to His personality, more understanding. That is the Adikarta, the door in our heart. And more gift. I have to say a little something about the glories of the book distributors. They're speaking about gift and surrendering this gift of books that has been going on in the month of December. It is actually the activity that brings prosperity in the world. If there is still rain coming, vegetables growing, the sun smiling, if there is still prosperity in the society, it's because of this yagya, Sankirtan yagya. Believe it or not, but that is actually what's the cause of it. So the old world, including the demigods, they are indebted to those who preach, to those who give the gift of God to other people. Every living being in this material world and the heavenly planets, they are indebted, and especially to the Sankirtan devotees. When I say Sankirtan devotees, doesn't just mean book distributors, but those who preach the consciousness of God. Because that is the ultimate gift that you can give to someone. You can give your service to Krishna, He likes it very much. You can give your life to Krishna, but what is He going to do with your life? unless you do something with your life. If I use my life to serve Krishna, to bring other people close to his lotus feet, that is actually the success of our life. That is how Krishna, how God he wants us to become, the messengers of peace. And this service is glorious. Krishna becomes completely controlled by the devotee who does such a thing. It is a fact, it is stated by him in the Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavatam. It is in every religion. It is the highest act of humility, of surrender. Where Jesus said, anyone who praises himself, he will be humbled. But anyone who humbles himself, he will be praised. But praised by who? Not just by ordinary living entities, but by God. God will praise such a person who humbles himself. And humbling himself to God, it means doing the will of God. Doing what Jesus did. That was a quote from Jesus. What did he do when he came? He preached. He did the same thing what Prabhupada, the Acharya, Lord Chaitanya, exactly the same thing. He preached God consciousness to people. That's how you become a very dear son of God. So thank you very much. We'll stop here. And we ask if there is any quick questions.